Faith and Gregory. I tell you, they are growing up. Amen. Thank you for allowing the Lord to use you guys this morning to minister to our hearts in song. Amen. It is a tremendous thing when we see our young people give their lives and praises and thoughts to our Savior. You know, as we come to this time in the service, it's always Brother Neil and I have been had the privilege of filling in for Pastor while he's been out and may have a few more weeks if he followed the doctor's instructions and listen, he'll be able to get back soon to what God has called him to do as well. You know, as much as we tend to give God the praise for what he does, it can never be enough. When I think about this special service and special time of the year, and people who say happy Easter, some might say happy resurrection. But you know, if it was not for the resurrection, we have no hope. And this is a special time of the year, and I hope that it does something for you, but also it'll do something to you. Because when Jesus came, that's what he wanted to happen. I want us to take our Bibles this morning, and I told with this message for probably ever since Pastor had his surgery. He said you might get ready for Easter's message as well. And I thought about what would I teach or what would I preach. And, you know, I don't know if we could ever exhaust the word of God, which I know we can't. And you cannot exhaust what Jesus has done when we think about the resurrection. I want us to take our Bibles and stand with me, if you would, to turn over to Luke chapter number 24. And I know it's a very, very familiar area of scripture to most of us because it's talking about the resurrection. Last Sunday, I don't know who y'all remembered, but we preached a message along the fact that Jesus was continuing his ministry. And this morning, we're teaching another message that goes kind of still along the same thought. But Jesus in his ministry, what he's doing here in this chapter, and I think it's very important for us to realize some things this morning that I want to share some thoughts that God has impressed upon my heart from this area of scripture. I wish I could preach the whole chapter. Amen. But we're going to give it our endeavor to do that since we only have one service. So you know, y'all are not coming back at 5, so I can be here till 4:30. Amen. Well, we won't do that. Some of y'all might get up and leave because your stomachs are getting growling so much that I say, look, you know, you got to go because they can't hear me because you're hungry. Amen. Amen. Y'all will get that after a while. But just some thoughts here that I want to share. And this is going to be our text this morning. And we want to share some things that I believe that we see that's going on here in this area, except the fact we celebrate the resurrection. But the resurrection had just taken place. I want us to read the first, I'll read the first 12 verses, and I'm going to make some comments throughout the whole chapter to draw some illustrations, but to draw some things that I believe that we need to recognize this morning when we think about the resurrection. Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices with which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found a stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad? Amen. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, he bowed down their faces to the earth and bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, why seeketh ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Amen. Remember how, and he's speaking to them now. He says, remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostle. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes that are laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Think about that this morning. Father, thank you again for the infallible word of God. We thank you for the truth that's here this morning. It's not a fairy tale, Lord. It is an absolute truth as to what Jesus Christ did for this lost and dying world. And God, how I stand here this morning, so unworthy to claim the position of preaching your word this morning. But I pray this morning, Lord, you have people here that want to hear from you. And I pray that you would take this vessel, empty it of itself, fill it with your spirit, Lord. And I pray that there be any sin in my life that would hinder what you want said or done here today, that it would be forgiven, that you might accomplish your will as you did when this tomb laid empty. Again, we praise you and thank you for this service, Lord. We thank you for the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we can never praise you enough or thank you enough for what you've done and for what you're going to do in the hearts and lives of your people. And God, how I pray to be anyone here this morning that this would be a special day, that they would come to know and to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, because he truly is what this world needs. And each and every one that's here without you, I pray that they would find just what they need and come into a relationship that Jesus Christ came to restore, to be acceptance of what you would hear, what would be said. May you touch hearts and lives for all eternity. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. I want you to think about it here. Jesus Christ is the risen King. These verses tell us that as they went there the first day, as it was talked about, Jesus was going to die and was going to be buried, and he was going to be raised again the third day. Those that went in anticipation of knowing that he had been crucified go to the gravesite, and as they get there, it was surprising to them that the tomb was empty. And yet, even though it was empty, he had told them about the fact that it was going to be empty. And knowing that he had told them that, yet they were surprised and perplexed, but yet they were saddened because his body was not there. You know, it ought to be a joyous time in their lives, when a joyous time in our lives, when we realize what God had done here, because if he'd been there, folks, it would have been no hope for us. Because he was not there, there's hope for us this morning, because the tomb is empty, because he has risen. He's our Savior this morning. God came and did what he intended to do when Jesus Christ died and they buried him. And 3 days later, he rose again. What a tremendous time when you think about what Jesus did. And I think about it today, that just as complicated and perplexed as they were, when people today think about Easter, we call it Easter, but it ought to be about the resurrection, because it's not about Easter eggs. It's not about the bunny. It's about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think about that, people today, when they hear about Easter, they're just as perplexed, because they do not believe that Jesus rose again, just like they didn't believe that Jesus rose again. And there's people today that still do not believe that, because if you believe that, it would change your life. It would change what you do. It would change how you act. It would change how you behave yourself. It would change where you go and what you would do. Because I believe today, just like in Jesus' day, he was fulfilling his ministry, and God is still fulfilling his ministry when he came and Jesus died on the cross. And it's amazing to me, after his resurrection, that same Sunday morning, Jesus is out on a path with two men who had no idea who he was. And just as perplexed as they were in that day, our society is perplexed as well. Because they still don't believe the significance of what has happened. As I think about our technology today and all of the ways that we could communicate, what would be said today if somebody told them of one of the greatest adventures. You could take a, just think this morning for a moment with me. If you could think about somebody that just died recently and all that would be said about them, and people say, I just saw him yesterday, or I just saw that person. How can they be dead? It would take them by surprise, but yet it happened. And when we think about Jesus Christ today, the anchors would be saying, oh, this great person died. We think about the internet, it would be swamped with thoughts and people talking about this great event that happened in history. And people would be talking about that great person that died. And everywhere you go, you get to work, they're still talking about it. And you get on your blogs, or you get on the internet, you get on your Twitter, you get on all of these ways that we have to communicate today, and they would still be talking about what happened. And some wouldn't be affected by it at all. And the same thing happened in Jesus' day. People didn't believe it. It can't be true. But yet it is true. So when we think about it this morning, scientifically, it should not have happened. But historically, it did happen. He did die. He did raise again. And I want to share with you this morning four simple thoughts. When you think about the resurrection, I want to ask you these questions. I don't want to mess this up. I wrote them down, so I want to go through this. I got to 4:30, amen? So we're going to go through this morning. Since we're not coming back tonight, I want you to think about it this morning. You may believe it, but do you understand how it changes your life? Because we may believe that Jesus died, but how has it changed your life? We may believe that Jesus rose again, but has it changed your life? We may believe that Jesus died and on the third day, and when they went to the tomb, it was empty, but you may comprehend it, the theology of it, but behind it, but has it yet changed your behavior? Because when you think about what happened that day, I believe with all of my heart, and it is the title of the message, the resurrection changes everything. When you think about what happened here in this event, it changes everything, folks. I want you to notice with me this morning, because I don't believe it's any different in Jesus' day that he walked this earth. He had those followers, and I find two words there, that them that is talking about was them that were supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ. They were the ones that were lacking the faith. They were the ones that could not believe that it happened, but yet he told them that it was going to happen. And yet we have the word of God before us this morning, and it's the very word of God. And it's amazing to me what Jesus take pride in. You and I ought to take some pride in, because Jesus wanted them to understand that you have the scriptures. And when Jesus taught, and when he referred back to the scriptures, because the scriptures spoke of him and what was going to transpire and what was going to happen in this world. Folks, we have the word of God. And everything that it tells us or has told us that is going to happen, guess what? It has happened. And he's coming again. The Bible tells us he's coming back. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But you don't believe in the resurrection, you can't go back with him when he comes back. You may not even be here. But you know what? You don't have to believe it. But it don't change the fact. It's still true. And it's amazing to me when I think about what the word of God, or what the resurrection does. I believe one of the first things that the resurrection did, these two men here, as we look at verse number 13 is where we're going to kind of focus at this morning. Here's these two men, or it says two men, but some of the commentators believe it was Cleopas and his wife. And most commentators say it was two of the disciples. But when you think about it, he said they were of the same household. So it might have been his wife that was with him. They were walking on a road, talking amongst themselves. I believe that the resurrection ought to change our conversation. Amen. What are you talking about? What do you talk about? What do you talk about often when you're talking? Most of us talk about sports. Yes, sir, Pastor. Most of us talk about the weather. We talk about what Donald Trump ain't doing. We talk about what ain't going on right at work. Most of us never get to the spiritual, but at least they were spiritual because they were talking about what had happened. But if the resurrection ought to change our conversation, we ought to be excited about it just as if it happened yesterday. We ought to be just as excited about it. And we live 2,000 years later, we ought to still be happy about the resurrection and excited about it. Verse 17 said they were sad. They were sad because of what they were expecting to happen. Never given any thought. The most important thing was that Jesus was alive. He had resurrected, because if he had not, folks, again, let me say, we have no hope.
That's right.
But because he's alive, we have hope this morning. Right. It ought to change our conversation. I want you to think about, here these two walking along, they talking to themselves. And I think the subject that they were talking about was a good subject. They were talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus asked them, what communication are you all having? What is it that you guys are talking about? And they began talking about Jesus. They had no idea that the person walking along beside them was Jesus. And a lot of times when it comes to the things in the Word of God, God is speaking to us and we don't know he's talking to us either.
That's right.
But he's speaking and he's talking. And I like what he's doing, because if God is going to use you, you at least need to know who he is.
Amen.
Because if you don't recognize who he is, you can't tell anybody about something that you don't have yourself.
That's right.
And that you're not excited about.
That's good.
So they're walking along. The subject was Jesus. But the sadness of it, they didn't know who he was. They had no idea. But you know what is not so sad about it? Because I believe God has a purpose in everything that he does. You think about it this morning. You said, Pastor, where are you getting all this from? Y'all read it. Amen. It's there. I'll show it to you. But when you think about it, if they had knew who Jesus was, they would have got all excited. How you get here? What's going on? What the dad, what the father's like? What is my mansion going to be about? But the Bible says they really were blinded. So that they couldn't see. And the reason why they could not see him was God's ordained plan. So that they wouldn't recognize him. So that he could direct their attention to where it needed to be. And that was his resurrection. And the word of God and how important it is. Because Jesus is teaching and he's referring back to them about, don't you remember when I told you? Because last week we talked about how important the word of God is. The word became flesh and it dwelt among us. John said we beheld it, we looked on it, we felt it, we did all of these things. And the word of God is right there before you, because Amen. God wanted them to recognize the importance of the scriptures. And let nobody fool you that the word of God is important today. Because he wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know what it is that he wants us to do. But the saddest part of it, just like them, and maybe some of you here this morning, you have no idea the importance of the resurrection. But you know what? It ought to change your life. If you've never received Christ as Savior, then you need to get saved.
Amen.
Because the resurrection is why Jesus died. And the importance of it, because he raised him from the dead, the life that he now lives, the same life that you and I can live, because he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Because if that was not there, folks, we would have no hope. There would be no gospel. There would be no need this morning of a resurrected Savior or a resurrection service. But there's a need of it, because there's a God who rose again the third day. That wasn't even in my notes. So we got to 4:30, amen? So we think about it. The importance this morning, the resurrection changes our conversation. These two are walking along in a conversation, and the subject that they were talking about was Jesus Christ, which was good when you think about what they're talking about. The subject, the sadness, but the sobering fact of their conversation is they didn't know what they were saying. It was only like they were saying a part of it. And part of what they were saying, they were leaving out the most important part of it, was the resurrection.
That's right.
And really who Jesus is. And that's the soberness of it. Jesus appeared on the scene. Let me tell you something, folks, that I found to be true.
When you want to know God, you can know him. Anybody say that they don't know Jesus, it's not because Jesus is not available to be known. You choose not to know him. And if you have a desire in you this morning to know Christ as your Savior, guess what? He'll save you. I believe with all my heart. Years ago, 1986, I was in search of a truth that I did not have. I didn't understand what was missing in my life. But what was missing in my life was a relationship with the risen Savior. I needed a relationship. I didn't need religion, because religion is sending people to hell because they don't believe in the resurrection. Because, folks, if there was no resurrection, there's no gospel. And those of you that follow religion are following a place that's going to lead you to hell, because religion never saved anybody. Jesus Christ saves. The resurrected Savior is the one that you need to turn to. He's the one that you need to know. But it's sobering this morning to think about it. How many people this morning still don't know Christ as Savior? They have no idea what the resurrection is all about. Folks, let me tell you, it ain't about the Easter Bunny. It ain't about the eggs, and you can do those things. But what your children need to know is there's a God in heaven. And he wants to save them. He wants them one day to spend eternity with them. You can run down the eggs and you can chase the bunny, but it won't get you to heaven. It's because of the resurrected Savior this morning that you can get there. And I believe with all my heart that God has to change our conversation and our lifestyle and who we are, what we believe, because what we believe in our heart is going to come out. And they had an idea, but they were missing a lot as well. So the resurrection changes our conversation. Amen. It changed theirs. And I like what Jesus did. And the Bible says in verse 13, and behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. Matter of fact, it's about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. What did they talk about? The resurrection. They were talking about Jesus Christ. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He started walking with them, folks, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. In other words, they couldn't see and understand who he was. But I like what Jesus does here next, is that he asks some important questions. You know, you think about it this morning. The resurrection is a shocker to people today, just like it was in that day. Don't let it shock you. Maybe it ought to shock you to do something with it. Maybe it ought to shock you in changing your life. Maybe it ought to shock you into coming to know Christ the Savior. Maybe it ought to shock you to give up what you want to do and do what he would have you to do. The resurrection, not only did it change their conversation, but the resurrection changes their comprehension. You know what? If you're going to understand what Jesus is talking about here, notice what he says. He says, what communion are these of communion are these that ye have one with another as you walk and are sad? They were sad. And one of them whose name was Cleopas, there's always one that's going to speak out, isn't it? Answer saying unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not thou known the things which have come to pass there in these days? They rebuking him, but they needed to be rebuked because they didn't really have a clue. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be commended to death and have crucified him. But we trust that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You know, I find it funny. It's no different today. Jesus was just a man from Nazareth. Y'all get that?
Yes, sir.
Because that's what they saw him as being. They didn't see him as being a resurrected Savior. And people today think, well, he was just a good man. He was just a prophet. There ain't nothing unique about him. They talked about the place where he was from. He was from Nazareth. They talked about the position that he held. He was a prophet. You know what? He was greater than a prophet. He was the greatest prophet that there ever was.
But I'm thinking one of the saddest things that I believe our comprehension of who Jesus is true today when it comes to Christians is our perception of who he is. Look at verse number 21. But we trusted that in him, or we trusted that he had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. In other words, their perception of who Jesus is the same today. People want somebody that's going to make their life more pleasurable. They want somebody that's going to make their life more prosperous. They don't want somebody that's going to change their life and make them holy.
Amen.
See, that's what Jesus is talking about. It's not about the prosperity that this world is teaching the religion. We're talking about prosperity. If you want to have what I have, that's not what this is talking about. See, our world today, we don't want a God that's going to change our lives.
Right.
We want a God that'll change our living. Want us to make us comfortable. Want us to give the things that we think that are important. You know what? You can have all the money in the world, and most people that got it ain't happy. And that's a fact, folks. Every time you turn on the TV, there's misery, and those that got money are the ones that's following some false religion, because if you follow Jesus, you're going to have to change. And they don't really want to change. And that was what they were looking for. They were looking for somebody to come to be a ruler, to change the conditions. See, we want God. You know, you hear people say all the time, if he's such a loving God, why do you allow this to happen? You know why it happened? Because we're sinners.
Right.
We need a savior. We need to be rescued from this sinful condition and this sinful lifestyle that we're living in. And Jesus is the answer.
That's right.
But we don't want a holy God. We want a honeymoon. That we can stay on for a little while. But you know what? The honeymoon, it's going to be over sometime. You can't keep basting in the honeymoon. All of y'all that married know what I'm talking about. Amen? Sometime the honeymoon got to come to a silence. You got to get out there and work. Amen? Because the money going to run out. But I'm glad Jesus don't run out. See, that was the problem. And it's the same problem today, folks. People want a God to give them what they want. Jesus wants to give you what you need.
That's right.
You need a savior. You need the resurrected savior. That's what you need. And that's what he's explaining to them. Because let me say, you know what? And they were saddened because that was what they were looking for. More so than they were a savior or a messiah that they were coming. And the Jews are still stumbling over that today. And the Greek, just like we are today, we still have the same problems because we're still looking for the same thing. It ain't going to change, folks.
That's right.
The thing that we need is a savior. He's going to change us. He will make your desires different. He will make your goals different. He will make your joy different. He will bring you some satisfaction you ain't never had. And if you're out searching for anything other than him, you're going to be disappointed. You know, the job can't bring you satisfaction. The home, your children, your cars and your clothes and all of those things that we have a desire. You know what? But Jesus said, I will supply all of your needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things shall be added unto you, because in that same reference or text or verse, all of the things that you have need of, God is going to provide it for you. But you need a savior first. So we see here, the resurrection changed their conversation. The resurrection changed their comprehension. But I like what Jesus does here. And it's amazing to me, folks, how Jesus always directed their attention back to the scriptures. It's amazing to me what God takes his people through, the good and as dead experiences, such as Isaac. And Joseph in prison, and Daniel in the lion's den. And he takes all of those things. And notice what he says in verse number 25. We're going to skip down three, but notice what he says in verse 25.
And then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And then at Moses, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. I think about it. That probably had to be one of the greatest Bible studies that you could ever been a part of. You know how we say sometimes we like to be the fly on the wall and hear conversations that go on sometimes between two people? How would you like to just been walking down that road and Jesus stop and he just teaches them a few things? And I, you know, Brother Hall, know how like I just like going back to the Old Testament. I wondered that he remind them about when they sinned in the garden, that he said that there's going to be one that was going to come. He's going to bruise his head and you're going to strike his heel. He's talking about Jesus. I think about Isaac when his father was willing to lay him on some wood and give him it as a sacrifice. You know what it was pointing to? It was pointing to Jesus. It was pointing to the resurrected Savior. And I like what he says. He says, son, God shall supply himself a sacrifice. And he did. He supplied Jesus. I wonder, did he tell him about that? I think about Isaac and how Isaac here was the promised son. And for God, Brother Hall read it this morning, for God's only begotten son. The sacrifice was at Moriah. The sacrifice of Jesus took place in Jerusalem. Consider the dead by the father for 3 days in verse 4 of chapter 22 in Genesis. We won't turn it. But death in Christ was for 3 days. Carried the wood of his own sacrifice. Isaac carried it up on the mount. Jesus carried his own cross. When you think about the comparison, I wonder, was he telling them all about that? Because God wants us to know the importance of the scriptures and the importance of what was going to happen, why it was happening. Our comprehension needs to change as to who Jesus is. It needs to change as to what the resurrection is all about, folks. And I believe most Christians, if we be honest with ourselves, we very seldom talk about the resurrection. We talk about everything else, but except the resurrection. We can get in all kinds of conversations, but we don't talk about the resurrection. Even today, we're probably not going to talk about it much. I got some steaks ready for this afternoon. What y'all eat? What are you eating? I'm just kidding. But that's probably where our minds are. Or what we're going to do this afternoon. Or what we're going to do tomorrow. We're not talking about the resurrection. But what I'm saying, folks, I'm just as guilty as you are. But Jesus wanted them to know the importance of the resurrection. I believe this morning that you're here is not by accident. God wants you to know the importance of the resurrection. Because if you don't understand what it is, it won't change your life. But when you understand the importance of it, maybe you might choose to allow it to change your life. Because the resurrection changes everything, folks. It changes us. I wonder about this Genesis. I wonder about Joseph as he talks about Joseph. Joseph was a type of Christ as well. Joseph was loved by his father and probably cursed by it, but yet he was loved by his father. Jesus, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am what? I'm well pleased. Joseph's brother did not believe him. They hated him. The Jews did not believe Christ. They hated him. That's why they crucified him. Joseph's brother rejected his right to be to rule. But Jewish leaders, just like those are right here, it's the religious leaders that did not want to believe who Jesus was. Joseph's brothers conspired against him. The same thing happened to Jesus Christ. They conspired against him. They lied. They made up all kind of fabricated stories about who he was. But they had no idea, as Jesus is teaching us, so that the scriptures could be fulfilled. Amen. And that's what he was directing their attentions to. This had to happen. Don't be sad because I died, but rejoice because I'm risen. That's what he wanted to draw their attention to. the prophets. And he says, as the Psalms and the Gospels, or the writing that took place in the Old Testament refers to me. The writing that's taking place in the New Testament is looking back at me. Because those things were important to him. That's what's going to make a difference in your life. You can't blame God for not knowing the truth, because we still have the Word of God. You know, and I wonder today, we say, look at how they behave, but are we behaving any different? We have the complete Bible. They only had him speaking to them, but he was God, and he was the Word of God. And we have the Word of God today, and it's speaking to us. And just like they ignored what was being said and what was being taught, many people today are still ignoring what is being taught. They ignore it so much they don't even want the Bible. Amen. Lord, help us. Because we were without excuse. It's not because God didn't do his part, but what you're doing about your part. He's done his part. And I'm so glad it ain't going to ever change. We're the ones that need to change. He's not going to change. I'm glad he is. Because if he would change, then I still have no hope. But because he's risen, we have hope. But you know, Jesus did all of that. And notice what else happened. That wasn't even enough. There's so much I could cover this morning. I got about 20 pages of notes. Amen. We're going to be here to 4:30. I'm telling you. Amen. I like how God loves to just orchestrate scenes that point forward to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me get on this side. He loves to orchestrate all of those things that are pointing to, as we said last Sunday night, Terrell, where Terrell at? Terrell, where you at, Terrell? Terrell, come on up here, Terrell. Come on, Terrell. Come on, son. He's a tall one, ain't he? But he makes a good representation of the cross. We used him last Sunday night. Hold your arms out, brother. No, just kidding. Because he'll get tired. Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't get tired?
Amen.
He loves to orchestrate all of these things that happen in people's lives so that those in the Old Testament are still looking to the coming of the Savior. And he came. And he died. And he rose again. And those of us this morning, we don't have to look to it, but we need to look back at it. They need to look and live. We need to believe and live. We look back to the cross because Jesus has already come. He died. He was buried. And he rose again. That's where our hope is. And because he rose again, we have the hope of eternal life. And Jesus wanted to demonstrate that because he loved doing that. He loved talking about it because Jesus wanted us to know the importance of the resurrection. Because if there's no resurrection, there's no hope. The grave couldn't hold him. Aren't you glad that he's risen this morning? Boy, I tell you what, folks, it ought to just stir you up this morning. I want you to notice something else. Thank you, son. I want you to notice something else. We saw that it changes our conversation. It changes our comprehension. But I want us to notice how it changes our confidence. Because think about it. Peter went running, or the women come back and tell them about what happened. And they didn't believe them. They sound like somebody crazy. They sound like somebody just fabricated something. So we ain't gonna believe them. So Peter goes running out there. And the Bible tells us, we already read that, right? So the Bible tells us he go peeping in there. Yeah. Those linen clothes that he had on. But he ain't there. Wow. I'm going to go back. He goes back and he meets with the other 11. Now, I won't get to all of that. But then, as Jesus walking with those two from Emmaus, they walking along, and he decided to go home with them. Sit down and eat a meal with them. And the Bible says they constrained him to stay with him for a little while. And he acted as if he was going to just move on and go somewhere else. But you know what? When we show God that we have an interest in him, he'll take the time and show us he has an interest in us. Ain't it good? So as he sits with them and he begins to just open the scriptures to them. And they said, our heart began to burn within us when he spoke the words to us. But you know what? That ought to make us have a greater commitment to God. Because he told them some truths that burn in their heart. How many of y'all, when you got saved, you couldn't wait to tell somebody else about it? I'm telling you. If you didn't get excited about it, y'all need to get y'all Holy Ghost happier inspected. Maybe you don't have salvation if you weren't excited about it. They were so excited about it. The Bible says that in the same hour, this is in the afternoon because it was the morning of the resurrection. All of this had happened, and then in the evening, they got up the same hour and they had to go back to where the others were.
That's right.
Boy, that's a commitment. And we all ought to, you know, the resurrection ought to change our commitment to God. We ought to be telling people about it. But sometimes, you know, we just ignorant folks, right? And God needs to do something else. He needs to give us some confidence. So the resurrection not only gave them a greater commitment, they go back to tell what they had saw and how he talked to them, how he ate with them. They were so excited to tell the disciples about it that they, as they were telling them, guess who walks in? He didn't open a door or anything. He just appeared among them. Because you know what he appeared to them for? He told them he was going to come. But you know why? Because they were unbelieving. They didn't believe it. So he had to give them some confidence. Look at it here, folks. I ain't making it up. Amen. We got to 4:30, so y'all might as well hang on in there. Amen. He did all of this because they needed to be encouraged. They needed some confidence. Look at verse number 33, and it says, and then they arose up the same hour. These was the two on the road to Emmaus and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and have appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known unto them and breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. You know what? Here we go. It's almost like when Jesus was walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost. I ain't seen a ghost yet. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do you doubt? Do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hand and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit have not flesh and bone as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hand and his feet. Sometimes the resurrection needs to change our confidence. Jesus wanted to change their confidence in who he was. He ain't no ghost. That's Jesus. And you know, the kind of life that he wanted to show them, he could just appear because he was God. You know, what I find here, Jesus is appealing to their senses. Sometimes you just need to take some common sense, folks. So he's appealing to their senses. Touch me. Handle me. Isn't that what John said? Our hands have handled and we have beheld him. The same John was there with them. And that's who he's talking about. He says, and showed him. He gave them really about four affirmations here. The showing of him. Behold my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. And he showed them his hands and his feet, as we see in verse 39 and verse 40. The wounds, which I was evidence. The snacking, if that wasn't enough, the snacking. Look at verse number 41. You said, what snacking you talking about? And while they yet believed not for the joy, for joy, they weren't excited about it yet, folks, and wonder, he said to them, have you any meat? You know what good Baptist folks do when they get together? We like to eat.
Well, yeah.
And Jesus knew that they like to eat. You have any meat? Because if he was a spirit, he didn't need to eat anything. But he wanted to show them, to give them some confidence, folks, because God wants us to be confident in who he is. Most people don't talk about something that they're not confident of. I bet your Brother Ken can tell you who them Green Bay Packers are. We'll pray for you, brother. Just kidding. But the things that are important to you, you know what they are. And you have confidence in it. Jesus wanted to give them some confidence as to who he was. Touch me. Handle me. Feel me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It's evidence as to who I was, who I am. I'm not a spirit. You can touch me. Boy, that's some good stuff. Just think about it. It changes our conversation. It changes our coherence. It changes our commitment. But it also changes, what was the fourth one I just said? It changes our confidence. Because they needed all of that. Why did they need all of that? Because it changed their commission. See, when I thought about this, I thought about going into this backwards. See, Jesus did all of this so that he could commission them to go out and tell somebody else. All along in the scriptures. Yes. Look what is to happen now. Come along a little bit farther. Look at verse 44. And he said unto them, these things are the words which I have spoken unto you while I was yet with you, and all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus is it written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endowed with the power from on high. Folks, that was the whole reason that Jesus wanted to make sure they changed their conversation, their comprehension was right, they were committed. Give them some confidence so that he could commission them to go tell somebody else. See, that's what the resurrection is all about. When we can understand Jesus' ministry and the importance of the resurrection, we will understand God wants us to do what he was teaching them to do.
That's right.
Go ye into all the world and do what? And preach the gospel to what? Every creature. God is saying to every nation, because there's not a person on this earth, in this world, that does not need to understand what the resurrection is all about.
Right.
And God is commissioning us to tell the truth. God wants to use us to be witnesses to those that do not know and do not understand what Jesus came to do.
Right.
And the resurrection is what we should be telling them about. Repentance. From that old life, turn away from it and turn to the Savior, because he wants to save you. And it's because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection that you and I can have eternal life.
That's right.
It's just that simple, but not to be taken lightly, because he had to pay for your life and for mine. That's what the resurrection is all about. Because if there was no resurrection, again, let me say it, if y'all haven't heard it yet, there's no what?
Hope.
There's no what?
Hope.
There's no hope for tomorrow. But because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Amen.
And because he's risen, the tomb is empty. No religion can make that claim. No other person has ever tried to make that claim. The only one that can do that is Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. Where are you at this morning? Has the resurrection changed your life? When I say change your life, can you recall a time in your life where someone took the Bible and showed you from the Bible how you can be saved? Jesus, when he taught, he referred to the scriptures.
That's right.
If he thought they were important, they are important. Because he referred to the scriptures. Have you not heard? Have you not known? Did not the scriptures say that I was going to come and that I was going to die? Did not the scriptures say that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
There's enough of it to go around, folks.
Right. Right.
Because that's what the scriptures say. And Jesus thought it to be important. And he wanted them to understand that. Because if he can commission us who know him, then we got to know what we're talking about. And we ought to be excited about it. It's not a time to be sad. It's a time to rejoice.
Right.
Because he's alive. He's risen. The resurrection. Jesus Christ. That's the whole reason we're here this morning. Why are you here this morning? I hope you weren't looking for a fairy tale. Because the resurrection is not a fairy tale.
Right.
It's a truth.
Right.
That'll change your life. And the only reason it won't change your life is because you don't believe it. But you don't have to believe it. But it's true. It doesn't matter what age you are. Jesus died for all. He says that all nations might believe. All nations mean everybody. Every man, every woman, every child, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman from 8 to 80 need to be saved. Where are you at this morning? Has the resurrection changed you? Or are you trying to change the resurrection? You can't change it if you want to.
Right.
But you know what? It can change you if you let it. Because that's what it's all about, folks. It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he's going to commission us to do something, folks, we have to believe it ourselves. And that's why Jesus dealt with his disciples, I believe, the way that he did. He taught them from the scriptures. I was once blind, but now I see.
Amen.
Because of the resurrection. I see truths now I never saw before. And you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can have a relationship with God. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Right.
The only way that you can be guaranteed of a place in heaven is through trusting Jesus Christ, what he's already done. You can't improve on it. The proof is already there. The tomb is empty because he is risen. Where are you at this morning? Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you again for this wonderful truth that we find in the scriptures. As these two men were on a journey, had no idea how you would change their lives. And God, there may be someone here this morning who needs you to change their lives. There may be one here this morning that does not know Christ the Savior. God, how I pray that they would not leave here before they would get that right and understand what the resurrection is all about. Heads bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. Let me ask you this question this morning as we started out with this question. What have you done
with the resurrection? Has it changed your life? When I say change your life, I'm talking about, have you come to understand the importance of the salvation, the relationship that you can have with Jesus Christ? I'm not going to come to you, try to embarrass you. I'm not going to try to force you to do anything. That's not what this is all about. God wants us to come willingly. If you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure of heaven being your home, will you raise your hand this morning, slip it up, no one looking around but me. You hear you're not 100% sure that heaven will be your home. Is anyone like that here this morning? I just want to pray for you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anyone else here like that? I see one who's already raised their hand. I see that other hand. Anyone else like that? You're not 100% sure that heaven would be your home. Anybody else here this morning that would raise their hand? I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you. I see that hand. Anyone else would be so bold? You know, God didn't make any mistakes when Jesus came and died for your sin and for mine. He wants us to come to a recognition of where we are. And I thank God for your courage this morning to raise your hand. And I'm going to sincerely pray for you. Maybe there's someone here that you are saved. And you know for yourselves that you're not doing what God would have you to do. The resurrection has not changed you the way that it ought to. Maybe you need to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you this morning as well. Has it changed your behavior? Has it changed where you go? Has it changed what you think, what you believe? I see that hand. Anyone else would join that person this morning, say, God has spoken to my heart. Maybe I'm not where I need to be. I need to allow it to change me because I'm holding back. Anyone here like that this morning? Talking to Christians, I see that hand. I see that hand. You can put it, I see that hand. Hands of testimonies are going up all over the place. But heads bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask our pianist to play a hymn of invitation. Let's all stand at our feet. The first thing I said this morning, heads bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to pray for those persons that were bold enough to raise their hands this morning of their need of salvation. They need to trust Christ the Savior. And I'm going to pray for those that are willingly say that they understand this morning they're not where they need to be. They haven't allowed the resurrection to change their life. I'm going to pray for them as well. Father, we do thank you this morning for the message that's in the Word of God about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I thank you for those hands that went up this morning that are not sure of heaven being their home. I pray that you give them the courage, Lord, to let someone take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. I'm not going to go to them, but as the hymn of invitation play, that you would give them the boldness to come and say, Pastor White, I want to be saved. And maybe they don't have the courage to do that, but they will not leave here this morning without getting that settled. If you're here this morning, no one looking around, heads bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to look at me. If you raise your hands this morning, I know it's going to take a lot for you, but if you look at me, I see that you're looking at me. Anyone else that raised their hand, look at me this morning and say, Pastor White, I acknowledge what you just said, and I truly do want to trust Christ. And you may be fearful, and I still won't come to you, but I just want you to know that I'm praying for you, and I will do that. But what God wants you to do is to make a decision, and maybe God give you the strength to do that this morning. And Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that are not where they need to be, that you work in their heart and life as well. And again, God, we thank you so much for the resurrected Savior, how he can change lives, and how the resurrection wants to change our behavior. And Lord, as perplexed as it is in the day that it happened, it's just as perplexing to a lost and dying world today. But I am so thankful for the truth that we find in Scripture, that we find in the Word of God. God, we thank you for the day that we can celebrate, not be sad, but there truly to be joy in our hearts as to what you've done for us. May no one leave here this morning without getting what they need to get settled in their hearts and in their lives. They would allow someone here, from the pastor's wife, or my wife, one of our deacons and his wife, to show them from the Bible how they can get those things right and meet the need that they have this morning. Because that's why we're here. That's why you came. Bless now, I pray, this invitation. Bless these hearts as you see fit. May we celebrate the resurrected Savior. Not be something or somebody that we mumble about and we're not enthusiastic about, but we are excited about what we have in Jesus Christ. What a tremendous thought when we think about He's risen, and He truly is. He's alive. Why we don't need to seek the dead amongst the living, because He's not there. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attentiveness this morning.